Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Va'ed Chanan. We're busy Twittering, but not too much, so if you'd like to receive a tweet every time there's a new episode of the podcast, then please check out our Twitter feed. You can follow us. Our Twitter handle is Pardes Podcast. P-A-R-D-E-S, podcast, all one word. And we look forward to hearing from you if you have any comments, and we appreciate any tweets that you send on our behalf. This week, Va'ed Chanan by Rabbi Daniel Landes. Rabbi Landes is the director of the Pardes Institute here in Jerusalem. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This parsha of Et Chanan, and I beseech the Lord, I can't get beyond the first word. Et Chanan el Adonai be'etahi lemor, and I beseech, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, says, I besought the Lord, I asked him, and the word chanun is graciousness. I requested graciousness from God. We know the context that he wants to go into the land of Israel. And he asks for that. He gets half his prayer. He's able to see the land, but he's not able to go into the land. Ve'et Chanan is a poignant moment. Moshe is recounting his prayer that is not fully answered. Ve'et Chanan, Rashi, the great medieval French commentator, father of all the great medieval commentators, says, referring to the word graciousness, and I'll read a little bit in Hebrew and translate in English. Ein chanun b'chol makom el lashon matnat chinam. Whenever you have this word chanun ve'et chanan, graciousness, in this context, asking for graciousness, it always refers to a free gift, a free willing gift, a gift without reason, a free gift that God bestows. Afalpi. Now there's a problem with saying ve'et chanan, and basically what it comes down to is both a parshanut, a hermeneutical question in terms of the context of Moses' life, but also a theological question. Even though the righteous ones should depend upon their good deeds and not ask for a free willing gift, in truth, they should only ask for a free-willing gift on the part of God. Lefisha Omar Lo, as it says in Exodus, when that great moment, we'll come back to it, that great moment when Moses stands in the cleft of the rock, and God says, V'chan noti, using again the word graciousness, V'chan noti asher achon, I will be gracious to the one I will be gracious, almost as tautology. Omar Lo, b'lashon ve'et chanan, therefore, God is turned to by Moses. Moses turns to God and uses this notion of graciousness. What's this all about? And why I say there is a narrative question, not so much hermeneutical, but a narrative question, and there's also a theological question. The narrative question is, it's kind of poignant that Moses is just laid out flat, begging God. We imagine prostrate and just saying, please, I don't deserve it. Be gracious. And then narrative we say, doesn't deserve it. Anyone deserves it, it's him. He should be the one led into the land. Ve'et Chanan, does he have to resort to that? Have to resort for an act of complete graciousness? Doesn't seem to fit. So there's a theological question. I mean, a big question on Judaism being a religion based on mitzvot. I mean, we have a Rashi himself seems to bring up the problem that we are based on mitzvot. We are a work, deed, action-centered religion. And we do things because they're supposed to be done. We're the servants of God. And yes, we are free-willing actors, but we are actors who have placed themselves as servants to do his command, to do what he has told us is right and proper, and we do so. And we should be judged on that basis. Goes back to the narrative question. Let Moses be judged on his basis. We should be judged on that basis, and, you know, let us The whole story. Yeah, Moses had his problems too, but on the whole story, he deserves it. That's the narrative question. But theologically, isn't this where we're at? And there's a big critique of Judaism, especially by one of its daughter religions, that we're obsessively work-centered, deed-centered. We make ourselves, therefore, potentially self-righteous. We think we're great because we've done it. We were able to demand, and we're able to say it's ours. It belongs to us. It's a critique that bears looking at. Isn't there a certain form of hubris, of self-aggrandizement in this, of self-sufficiency? And so maybe here we say, Vetchanan, maybe that's the whole reason that Moses says, Vetchanan, because after all, I'm still begging God. You're God and I'm man, and it doesn't go further, any further than that. This whole topic is brought up by the great Hasidic rabbi, commentator, the Sfat Emet, great, great Talmudist. That was his day job. His Shabbat afternoon job was giving the drashot. Sfat Emet, true discourse, is a fantastic sefer, which was of the drashot he gave on Shabbos afternoon. Rest of the time, Sfat Emet refers to the work on Halacha, the Talmudic commentary, Pilpul, that he wrote. And he quotes, and he mentioned that he was in the late 19th, early 20th century. And the head of the Gur Hasidim, a town outside of Warsaw. And he quotes this Rashi, and he explains that we need to understand what's really taking place here. And what he talks about is that indeed we're supposed to place ourselves in a situation in which we fully understand that our dependency is upon God. But on the other hand, we have this entire notion that our deeds and our actions are of tremendous import. So which one do we work on? Which one do we see as the way that we understand ourselves? And so he quotes this Rashi, and he says the following, that even though the tzaddikim should depend themselves on their actions, they indeed request things only on the basis of matnat chinam. So the Sfat Emet quotes an amazing midrash that is found in Shemot Rabbah, in the midrash on Exodus, in the place about when Moses is placed by God in the cleft of the rock. And God says, he said, referring to God, capital H, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will show thee, the midrash says, my attribute of dispensing goodness, my attribute of punishment. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Chanoti asher achon. I will be chanun, I will show graciousness. Then it was that God showed him all the treasures, Midrash says, recounts, in which the rewards of the righteous are stored away. Moses asked, to whom does all this treasure belong? There's so much treasure. And he replied, oh, that treasure? To those who fulfill my commandments. Moses points to another storehouse. And to whom does this treasure belong? Oh, those who bring up orphans. I have this treasure for them. And so it was with every treasure and treasure. Later on, Moses, who one could think was at this point grown a little bored, sees a huge treasure and inquires, whose is this great treasure? And the divine rejoinder was, God responded, unto whom that hath such things to his credit, I give of his reward. But unto him who hath not, I have to supply freely, and I help him from this great pile. And it says, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Namely, unto whom I wish to be gracious, to whom I am free willingly gracious. Similarly, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Those who earn have their specific reward according to this midrash. Those who didn't earn it can partake from this great reward, which is part of the free willing nature of the infinite God. So therefore, there is this free gift. Moshe is asking for the land of Eretz Yisrael, is asking for the land of Israel, according to the Sfat Emes, to be part of that inheritance. He sees the great Otsar, he sees the great treasure that Midrash has spoken about. And he says, even if you feel I don't deserve it, give it to me. Because you will be gracious. You have said about yourself, I'll be gracious to him, I will be gracious. I will show mercy upon him, I will show mercy. And this shows that there is no comparison between the reward that arrives on the basis of man's actions, avodat adam, to that which comes from the free-willing gift, the matanat ha-melech ha-kosh baruch hu, the free-willing gift of the King, the Holy One, blessed be He. Now, having said this, at this point, I have to catch my breath with the Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet seems to be giving away this uniquely Jewish notion of working for what you get, of doing these righteous acts with all the problems nonetheless. As we have said, the problems that may be there of self-righteousness and the rest. But now he says something to explain. Achein, indeed, Sfat Emet says, true, the author of the book, The True Discourse, Kol Avodat HaAdam, all the actions of man. So Yehuda Aryeh Leib from Gur, the Rebbe of Gur, this man, the author of True Discourse says, indeed, all the works of man, all the service of man is there to bring him to this sublime gift afterwards. In other words, you do the work to get to the place where you ask for something, not on the basis of reward, but on the basis of a free will gift. And therefore, when it says that the tzaddikim are supposed to depend on their good actions, yes, it means sheyeshu tzaddik b'tzot b'maaseim atovim, that the righteous ones are supposed to depend on their good actions. The meaning is l'zakot l'hamatana, in order that they can merit the gift, al pi mida b'mida, the notion of attribute against attribute. V'heim bikshu matnat chinam, and therefore they requested a matana chinam, a free will gift. And he says there, Daika, look at this very carefully. What's going on here? He says mida keneged mida, or mida b'mida, is like mida keneged mida, attribute against attribute. Often this is used in terms of punishment, not always, that you do something wrong, and God, in the same thing that you've done, you have shown callousness to someone, God, as it were, shows you callousness. You refuse to show mercy, God, as it were, refuses to show most of mercy. And of course, in the positive way as well, you show mercy, mida keneged mida, God also shows you mercy. What's the mida keneged mida here? You're supposed to act and do the mitzvot and do the right things, not for the purpose of receiving a reward. Not for the purpose of receiving a reward. The very fact we say that we depend on our actions is almost after the fact. We do what we do, not in any way. We do it for the sake of the mitzvah, for the sake of service to God, and for the sake of taking care of a fellow human being. That's why we do these mitzvot. Once we have done so, what are we depending ourselves on? On our free-willed gift to our fellow human being, on our free-willed gift that we, as it were, we offer up to God, not for the purpose of receiving reward. And once we have that, Therefore, as it were, we stand there and we're able to accept the free will gift from God. Is this a joke? Is this a manipulation? I've seen enough tzaddikim in my life. I've seen righteous people, many of them very holy and august personalities, and many very simple people, but they were very holy people, people not noticed by everyone else. God forbid that they would ever have done it for the sake of receiving a reward. Selfless in what they've done. But that is the whole reason why then they're able to say the Etchanan. And I beg before God, I know that my actions are not worthy. And what we're hoping for, somewhere underneath that, we're hoping for that our actions will continue to be understood as not being done for the sake of a reward. Then, at that point, we make ourselves, it makes it possible for us to perhaps receive the reward, the matnat chinam. The Midrash in Devarim says that there are many terms for prayer. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is in the second chapter of the Midrash on Vetchanan, and it's quoted in an earlier section by this great author, Sfat Emet, the Rebbe of Gur. The Rabbi Yochanan said, prayer is known by the following 10 designations, ten terms in Hebrew. Shava, Zaka, Naka, Rina, Pegiya, Bitsur, Kriya, Nipul, Pilul, and Tachanunim. And each one has its end. And the last one, Tachanunim, the Etchanan, that's the same word, the notion of graciousness, the one of graciousness. And all these terms are there. And Tachanunim, and for each one, he brings a pasuk, he brings a verse that shows how this term is used. 10 terms for prayer. And then the last one, Tachanunim, as it says, the Etchanan, I besought the Lord. And of all these designations of prayer, it says here by Rabbi Yochanan in the Midrash, Moses made use only of the word Tachanunim. Rabbi Yochanan said, hence you learn that no creature has any claim on his creator. Because Moshe, the teacher of all the prophets, he only makes the use of the word Tachanunim, which means he's asking, if you are willing to do so, give me a free will gift. This is actually the notion that's taking place here. I think what the Sfat Emet is trying to bring in this whole issue is the notion that prayer has different connotations. Etchanan, in many ways, is the most subtle of all the prayer. And that Midrash, it says it's a siman of prayer. It's a sign of prayer. It's a sign of a true prayer. Well, isn't it prayer itself? Well, Vetchanan, to give an explanation for the Sfat Emet itself, Vetchanan is a reflexive verb. Vetchanan, I reflect upon the graciousness comes to me, is upon me, and I am fulfilling at the same time graciousness. I'm surrounding graciousness in every possible direction. Vetchanan. Im hirgish, the Sadamet says, shigilach haven libo liyot nishpach libo nochach p'nei Hashem. It's a sign of true prayer if he feels that he's intending at this moment, that he feels that he is pouring out his heart towards God. I am acting graciously in my full self. I hope to get your full self back. Ze ikar tefilah b'emet, that's the essential prayer of essential part of prayer. That the preparation for prayer, hachanot letzfilah, the preparation for prayer, they are the terms that a person is really entering the prayer experience. The prayer experience is a moment of a selfless communication between the individual to God and between the God to the individual. It's selfless because there's no agenda. A person acts graciously to others. That's already his hachana. That's already his preparation. He is selfless. He has already lost his ego. That is the beginning of prayer. Whatever he will receive will be there in this egoless state. This is the hachana, and this is the prayer, which is on such a high level, but such a subtle level, that the Sfat Emet talks about. The true discourse here is a discourse in which one pours out to others, pours out to God, and is ready to become the vehicle to receive what he will receive. Of course, the words here are very ironic, in that when we make use of the Midrash based on the verse, V'chanoti asher achon, and I will be gracious, so I'll be gracious, Moshe does not receive everything that we would have wanted him to receive for himself. We do not see Moshe's complaints. We don't see Moshe saying this is not enough. That's part of the game of prayer. That's the game of selflessness. You don't know what you're going to receive back. And what you receive back is definitionally graciousness. It's not bound by requirements. It's not bound by too much when you give forth. You give forth in being gracious to others. You give forth in your preparations. You give forth in asking God for all. You don't know. It's also not bound by how much you receive. That can never adequately define it. V'etchanan, Moses, is one of the last things he does in his teaching of us. Teaches us to be reflective, to be gracious, to be unbounded in the giving forth, and even in the request, and to be unbounded in the reception of what is finally given. Shabbat Shalom. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.